This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. It's taken several years of debate, planning, and construction, but Cincinnati's streetcar system, the Cincinnati Bell Connector, is finally going to have its grand opening on September 9th. Kansas City, Missouri, opened its streetcar system this year. There are similarities and some big differences between the two systems. And joining us to discuss the KC streetcar and how its ridership has been since its May opening is public radio station KCUR 89.3 digital editor Cody Newell. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Cody, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, Cody, here in Cincinnati, we had a lot of debate, and there was opposition to the streetcar. There was an effort at one point to stop the project by the current mayor and several council members. So it's not exactly been the smoothest path for Cincinnati's streetcar system to arrive at this point where it's finally going to open. So I'm wondering, what was it like in Kansas City? What did it take for your streetcar to reach the point where it's finally running?
Well, I would say it wasn't nearly as caustic as your line seems to have been. The last city council that kind of got the ball rolling on this thing was pretty supportive of it from start to finish. And even now that we have some new council members, there are some that are a little bit skeptical of what's going to happen with the line now that it's actually installed and running. But for the most part, people are pretty positive. Construction on this started back in 2014, but the ball really got rolling in 2011 when kind of talks were in kind of the formative stages of, okay, we think we want to maybe give this an actual shot. You know, what do we need to do to make this happen?
Major objection to the Kansas City streetcar in the beginning was from the owners of businesses on the streetcar route, wasn't it?
Yeah. And in fact, that was a big issue during the construction phase was, you know, basically our line goes right down the main drag of our downtown area. And so a lot of businesses were, you know, really negatively affected. In fact, I think a few kind of were on the verge of closing because of it. But I mean, that's just kind of the nature of this sort of thing, right? I mean, you're putting in rail where there hasn't been rail for, in our case, about, you know, 60 years. So in a lot of ways, you know, yeah, it was a big deal. And took a lot of kind of upheaval, and, you know, to put these things into the ground, you know, you have to do a lot of things like divert utilities, and, you know, you have to, you know, decide where you're going to kind of divert traffic, because the way our streetcar works, and I believe the way that yours is going to work, is that, you know, it's basically in the road, and it goes along with traffic, so that introduces a lot of interesting problems.
Yeah, and this is the opposite of what we had here, where the business community, the businesses, especially along the route, were saying, yes, we definitely want this. So that's interesting. Now, how much did it cost to construct the system?
So overall, the number that they throw out there is $102 million, which I think is actually pretty similar to your guys's. I think yours is about $150 million or so.
I think it was under that. I'm not sure the exact amount, but it was in that neighborhood. And you ended up constructing, what, about a two-mile route?
Yeah, it's 2.2 miles.
Yeah, and ours, I think, turned out to be, it's going to be 3.6 miles. So, the prices were roughly similar there. It's interesting, you're talking about how Kansas City had a streetcar system 60 years ago, and Cincinnati also had one that shut down in the 1950s. So about the same time frame, you find it interesting that both cities, they had streetcars at one point, they shut them down, and now decades later, they're bringing them back.
Well, it does seem a little silly in a lot of ways, but I mean, I think that's kind of the story of streetcars around America. You know, there's a lot of cities that had massive systems. I mean, Kansas City's system was the third largest in the country behind Chicago and New York, or I believe it was Chicago and San Francisco, which is just crazy. I mean, our city isn't nearly as big as either of those, but had just miles and miles and miles of rail. And then, you know, when the highway system really became a big thing in America, that's when streetcar systems sort of started to waiver, and it became kind of a choice where, you know, a lot of these streetcar systems, at least in Kansas City, were privately owned. And so when kind of faced with the option of, okay, we can continue to do these streetcars, we can continue to have to pay the maintenance costs to, you know, take care of the streets that they're on, or we can switch everything over to buses and just kind of let the cars roll over us and save money, it kind of came down to that point where they said, all right, let's go with the buses.
What was opening day like? That was what was the exact date?
I believe that was May 6th.
May 6th, okay. What was that whole day like?
Gosh, I mean, it was pretty crazy. There were close to 50,000 people downtown. Over that weekend, there were something like 27,000 rides, which was just, I think more than anybody expected.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was just nuts. You know, there were, pop-up shops that were lined along the route. You know, people were riding it. The cars were absolutely packed. Also, there were some breakdowns, unfortunately, and I think that kind of took the glow off
of things
a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. But those were pretty quickly taken care of. But I mean, that was one thing that the opposition to the streetcar, up to the opening weekend, and even through opening weekend, and up to now, they, one of the big things that they like to kind of harp on is the fact that streetcars occasionally, they have problems sometimes, and
imagine that a mechanical device that occasionally has a problem.
right. But that's something that the opposition still talks about.
Well, what was ridership like? What's it been like the first few months of operation?
I mean, it's been, I think, bigger than anybody has pretty much expected. Original estimates were about 2,600 rides per day, which was, more than a lot of places, around the country. I think Portland has similar numbers to that. So that was kind of a good estimate. But our ridership has been 6,800 rides a day, and that's been more than 700,000 rides since opening day. So
it's 700,000 rides in about almost 4 months.
Yeah, so it's about a little bit over 2.5 times what we originally thought was going to happen. So pretty huge.
Any idea who is riding? Are these tourists, residents? Is it people mainly riding around town for events? Have they done any analysis?
Well, there hasn't been any real, I think, deep, survey or anything like that. But I think anecdotally, anytime there's a big convention in town, the streetcar is absolutely packed. I think the highest ridership days are on the weekends, and that would make sense because most people are, out and about downtown, maybe going into the River Market area, our big kind of city market area in town, which the streetcar kind of terminates at. So I think it's primarily people who are maybe here for a convention, or maybe it's just tourists. But I think also you have a lot of people who, live downtown or live near downtown and think that it's a pretty good way to get around. I mean, our line doesn't have a fare, so you can literally just walk up to the station and get on whenever a car shows up. So it's, I think, been a good mix of people. I don't think it's been just one group or another that's been, kind of out of proportion.
So it's free to ride this. There's no fare. How's the system being funded?
Well, the system has been funded through a taxing district mainly. So whenever they were getting funds for our streetcar, I think it was about 20 to 25 million came from federal grants. And then there was this special taxing district. And this is one of the big points of contention with our line. There was this taxing district set up that kind of added additional property taxes and sales taxes within, I believe it was a 3/4 mile radius around the route. And that was primarily how this thing was funded. Now, to get that district approved, the only thing that had to be done was voters in that district had to approve it. So it was something to the tune of like 500 to 800 people in our city had to approve it, and then that was established. And that has become a massive deal for people who criticize the streetcar. They say that was a very underhanded way to do it, that we should have gone to a citywide vote instead of, leaving this up to the fate of leaving this decision up to, 500 people.
So is there an expectation, Cody, that the free status is going to continue?
I mean, for the starter line, for what we've got right now, there's been no word about, raising a fare or anything like that. I think the plan is to keep it open and free for the time being. Now, if the line is extended and proponents are trying to pass an extension plan now that would extend it something like 4.5 miles further down Main Street, if that gets passed, I don't know what the status of that is then. I don't know how they get away with a project of that size and not institute a fare. But for the time being and for the foreseeable future, there's not going to be one.
What kind of an economic boost are officials expecting this to have for Kansas City?
Well, the big number that went around right before it opened, I believe, was that there's been about $1.5 billion worth of redevelopment that's happened in downtown since the streetcar was kind of announced. And officials like to attribute all of that to the streetcar. Whether or not that's true is, I think, also a point of contention and something that's up for debate. But I think certainly there you've seen a lot of redevelopment, a lot of, you know, new condos, new buildings going in downtown, new hotels, that sort of thing. And those businesses that were hurting during construction, I think now are doing pretty well from what I hear. I mean, you know, they're kind of back to where they were, or maybe even better, because now people have a pretty good incentive to visit them, because they can just hop on the streetcar, get out and, you know, go buy a cup of coffee or whatever it is.
Well, I was going to ask you if the local business community had changed its thoughts any on the streetcar now that it's finally open?
I think they have. I think, you know, like I said, it was a tough time for a lot of places, and a lot of people wish that it hadn't happened. I know I personally talked to some business owners who were incredibly upset and felt like they had basically just kind of been left out in the rain on this. And but now I think it's gotten to a point where people are saying, okay, now we're seeing an uptick in people that are, you know, coming to the River Market, that are coming into our arts district that the streetcar runs through, and I think they're seeing more people, and I think they're seeing more business.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation with Cody Newell about the Kansas City streetcar system, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Now, I understand, Cody, that your streetcar has its own soundtrack. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, as I understand it, there's been a video series and some music videos actually shot on the streetcar.
I think one of your local artists produced this.
Yeah, and I wish I knew the name of the artist.
I know the last name, Bush, but I can't, yeah.
He's escaping me right now, but yeah, this has been one of the, I think, the biggest aspects of the streetcar, which has been that the city has done, I think, a pretty, you know, from a marketing perspective, they've really done a good job of promoting this thing and really getting the community kind of engaged and trying to push it out there in a way that sort of marries sort of the arts culture and the business culture and kind of just brings these things together in a kind of strange way. It feels very appropriate given that we have sort of this new sort of startup and entrepreneurial sort of spirit and focus in our city.
How have motorists and bicyclists and pedestrians been doing in terms of adapting to sharing the road with streetcars now? How is that all working out?
Well, I'll tell you, from my perspective, I will not drive my car down Main Street past about 19th Street now, because it actually does, you know, the streetcar does hold up traffic a little bit, if I'm being honest. I mean, you know, if you're driving down Main Street and it's busy, you know, it has to stop and has to let people on and off, and sometimes that can take a little bit, and it's not necessarily a fun thing as a driver to be stuck behind a streetcar. Also, a big thing that I think I haven't heard so much about it now, but a big issue running up to when the streetcar opened, when we had the testing period, because streetcars have to test for months and months and months, and I'm sure you guys are coming up to the tail end of that right now.
Exactly.
Or maybe
yes.
Through it. But you know, during that testing period, a lot of parking spots, the kind of lines had to be redrawn along the street, and there were quite a few people who were parking outside of the lines and getting either fines or getting towed, and that was actually quite a big deal. It happened to quite a few cars, and quite a few people were pretty mad about that for a while.
It's going to take some adjustment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does.
For,
you know,
for both
it
our
honestly
cities.
Does.
Yeah,
it honestly does. You know, it takes a while to get used to this. I mean, we haven't had streetcars, like I said, for 60
years.
Yeah, this just hasn't been a thing that we have to deal with. And so now, you know, when you reintroduce this thing, it's not like a bus where, you know, most of the time you can go around a bus or something like that. In our situation, the lanes are now drawn to where you can't even go around the streetcar, and you're not supposed to pass the streetcar. So you're kind of forced behind it. And yeah, that takes some adjustment.
Yeah, here in Cincinnati, we've had a couple of accidents between vehicles and the streetcars as they're running their practice route. Have you had any accidents or incidents to date with the streetcar system?
Oh yeah. There's been quite a few times where a car has struck the streetcar. We had a couple of derailments that happened, and that was a big deal. That sent the
full-fledged derailment or.
Well, like it was fairly minor from what I understand, but one of the cars got slightly off track. I think it's only happened once. I could be wrong about that, but that sent pretty big ripples through the local blogosphere, and the local opponents to the streetcar were just up in arms over it. But that's been another thing that we had to deal with, right? Is that, you know, when you introduce a large vehicle into mixed traffic, accidents are going to happen, you know, and that's just something that we've had to kind of I think accept, and just it's just kind of a fact of life.
513-419-7100, and let's talk to Tina in Loveland. Hi, Tina.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I have a question for your guest. I actually grew up on the opposite side of the state of Missouri in St. Louis, and I'm familiar with the Metrolink system there, which is much more of a traditional commuter rail. One of the things I've never understood for the Cincinnati streetcar debate is, what is the advantage of a streetcar over something more like the Metrolink?
Ooh, that's a good question.
So light rail versus a streetcar, yeah.
Well, so light rail has been a big discussion in Kansas City, actually. So there's this guy by the name of Clay Chastain, who is a Virginia resident, and I believe has some family in Kansas City. And he has been sort of this longtime thorn in the side of our city, who has pushed for light rail for at least 25 years now. And in fact, I'm fairly certain he has an initiative that's trying to work its way through our city right now for light rail. But light rail, I think the difference to me anyway, ways in the way that I understand it, and I'm not an engineer or anything like that, but with light rail, it seems that the advantage is that you can go faster, because light rail is on its own dedicated rail that's not in mixed traffic, so the rail would either be elevated or it would be in its own kind of lane, something to that effect, or maybe even underground, and so it can go a lot faster.
You definitely can go a lot farther with the system too, so...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, you know, with light rail, I think typically a line would be something, you know, like 6 miles or longer even. You know, some of the light rail that I've ridden in Seattle, for example, I believe that goes up to about 60 miles per hour, which is pretty fast. Our streetcar generally hits about a top speed of about 35 to 40 miles per hour. And that's only in certain sections where it kind of has a straightaway that's in between stops.
Hey, Cody, you were starting to touch on this earlier about the potential for expanding the system that you presently have. What are they thinking about doing in the future?
Well, so the big plan, and this actually, there was an extension kind of initiative about 2 years ago before the line even opened. There was a proposal to kind of start work on the extension before the line was even opened, and part of that extension would have been taking it further down Main Street to connect to this area of the city in Kansas City called the Country Club Plaza, which is kind of this shopping and restaurant district, and also connect it to the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And so that would take it, I believe it's an additional 4.5 miles. I think the price tag on that is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $400 million. I could be wrong about that. I can't exactly remember. But it would be a fairly significant project. It would go down Main Street, which is kind of one of the main arteries into downtown Kansas City. And so I think if that moves forward, and right now I think there's some question as to whether or not it's going to, but if that moves forward, you know, it would be a long haul. I think the estimate that most people give is about 5 to 7 years before that would be totally complete.
So what do local officials expect? Do they think that the pace of the ridership is going to continue? Do they see a bright future for this system?
Well, I mean, I think that is – I think officials who are proponents of it would probably say, yes, this is exactly what we had hoped for. You know, this is
better
wonderful.
Than what we'd hoped for, it sounds like.
Right, right. And but, you know, I think there is some question as to whether or not this is just sort of a novelty factor, right, whether or not people, you know, are just riding this thing because it's new and because it's exciting. I don't know. So far, ridership has been just so phenomenal that – I personally am a little bit skeptical to say, you know, oh, this thing is just going to crash and burn, and, you know, 2 months down the line, nobody's going to be riding this thing. I don't think that's going to be the case. But it's hard to say. It's hard to say whether or not ridership will flatten out a little bit. I think we could probably expect that it will a little bit more. But, man, so far things have been things have been going pretty well.
Well, Cody, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Cody Newell is digital editor for public radio station KCUR 89.3 in Kansas City, Missouri. Next Wednesday on Cincinnati Edition, we'll have a preview of the grand opening of Cincinnati's streetcar system, the Cincinnati Bell Connector. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. Dave Shermer was our technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. The first presidential debate is 3 weeks away. As of now, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will be on stage, but Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson is hoping to join them in what is sure to be the most unusual presidential debate in recent memory. On the next Cincinnati Edition, political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson analyze the current state of the presidential race. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.